April 18th, 2017. It's the Watt from Pedro Show. Watt from Pedro Show. Hey, Brother Matt, it's been a while.
Yeah, a long
while. I ain't seen you since I've been to China.
Yeah, I've been around the world.
Yeah, or at least halfway around it.
Looking forward to hearing about that.
In fact, there's some people on board to help us with that. The two cats who made it possible for me, Tom Raoul, to do our first trip to China via the magic of those great software engineers in Estonia, Skypesters. They sold it to Mr. Gates, though, right? We can make Pedro to Shanghai Connect with Chach and Gil.
Cool. Welcome.
Welcome.
Hey, ni hao.
Ni hao.
Thanks, I guess.
So, we start off the show with John Coltrane when he was with Thelonious Monk those 9 months in between Miles gigs. Off Minor Take 4. And then brand new album from Round Eye, which both Chach and Gil are members of. New album Monster Vision just came out, and a track The Cat, The Mouse, and The Dog in Between. Okay. Who wants to explain their musical journey first?
Chach, go ahead.
Journey of the band?
No, yours. What's your earliest musical memory, Chach?
Oh, Christ. Well, you know what? The first musical memory that I have of wanting to play music...
No, just first exactly music memory, like sounds in the house, sounds in the car... Sounds in the crib.
Okay, so the first music memory I had was listening to was the theme song for Axel Foley, that Beverly Hills Cop theme song. The 7-inch. My mom, man, she loved Eddie Murphy, so she just had that going every single day in the 80s.
Well, the single.
Unfortunately, that is my first musical memory.
And
I still have that 7-inch.
Is this in Dominican? Where's this at?
This is in Miami, the first couple of years after my mom first moved to America.
Okay. Yeah, because Chach is a boy, I found out. His first language, Spanish. He's Dominican Republic.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
There's San Pedro in Dominican Republic.
That's right. There is a San Pedro in Dominican Republic.
Baseball capital.
That's right.
A lot of utility guys, right? A lot of second base and shortstops.
And pitchers. Too.
Some pitchers? All right. A lot of utility guys usually, though. Dominicans are great at that stuff. Okay, so... was there music in the house? Did anyone in your family play?
My dad sort of played the guitar, but mostly no, not at all. Like,
was there a guitar in the pad?
Yeah, it was in the pad. I still have that. It was an acoustic guitar. It was a brand called Lotus. They stopped making it in the late 80s.
Okay. So that's the first guitar you played. And how did you get on it? You did he want to show you stuff or? You wanted him to teach you?
My dad, he just tinkered around with it. It was just something that was always kind of there.
Yeah.
And then eventually I got more curious about it, and I think I liked the casing that it was in more than the guitar itself. So.
Of course. Do you remember the first song you learned?
I think it was either the Coca-Cola theme song.
Things go better with Coke?
By Elvis.
Coke after Coke, didn't they? You know, the Who did a little... Actually, it was the Ox, but they changed the lyrics to Coke after Coke after Coke after Coca-Cola.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But you...
the Who sell out, right?
Yeah, not really. It was more of a... I think they actually did it for money. It wasn't part of that record. Or
oh, gotcha.
The Ox is on there, though. No. It's on an earlier record than that. Anyway, not to get sidetracked. Can you remember the first record that you bought? Chach? Did we lose him, Gil?
I think that's a no.
No, I don't. I think he's probably thinking.
Oh, he's thinking.
I'm just thinking about radio and
thinking. No, we lost him. I heard the little sound. It sounds like somebody yanking something out of somebody's yang. So let's go with you, Gil. What's your earliest music memory? You gone too, Gil? Hold on, people. Let's play some music. You're back. Okay. Sorry for the difficult question, but like... What was the first...
Sorry for the difficult connection.
Okay, what was the first record you bought?
Oh, man, the first record I bought with my own money was, I think it was Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, or it was Smash by The Offspring.
Beatles.
Strange.
Or Offspring.
Yeah, Beatles or Offspring.
Right, Orange right. County. Or Liverpool. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you do music in school?
I did. In, let's see, in the early days, I studied jazz guitar for about, you know, probably about 10 years, and classical piano for 10 years before that.
Oh, really?
So it took like
starting when?
A
when did you?
Time for me to get really interested in the, my old jazz guitar player. His name was Dan Lang. He used to play for the Tonight Show.
Uh huh.
When Carson was hosting.
Sure.
Then he retired in Florida, and he was a rhythm jazz teacher, not lead. So I learned a lot of like
comp and chords,
West Montgomery stuff, styling. Yeah.
Although Wes Montgomery is very important about bringing soloing in with guitars. Actually,
yeah, for sure.
But the piano. When did you start the piano?
My mom made me start the piano. And I was like 10 years old, 11 years old, and okay. It wasn't anything I was really interested to in. But I'm glad she did, because
sure,
you know, forced me along the way in understanding the theory of it. So I got into theory well before I got into the aesthetic.
Okay, so you didn't really do the garage band thing for it was kind of academic for a little while.
Yeah, because in my town where I grew up, there were no bands. There was nobody there that did music at a local scale.
Wow.
You had to go an hour and a half, 2 hours away to something like Gainesville or Orlando to see a band of just local kids playing.
Wow. So it was kind of boonies.
Yeah, way boonies. I mean, we're talking like, you know, 65 miles west of Gainesville, right on the Gulf Coast.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I don't think I've played that section.
Not many people have.
Yeah.
I'm
trying to think about that area. Ocala? No.
It's further west.
Yeah, Don Garlitz Drag Race Museum, right? I've been there a few times.
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy, dog. In fact, I got one of his spark plugs. They had like barrels of his spark plugs for sale. They also had a video of his transmission. I think Swamp Rat number 21 blew up between his legs. That's when he moved the motor from in front of him into back of him. Because it took part of his sternum. You know, that shit happens.
Yeah, not much happened where I grew up. I mean, sometimes something interesting would happen. Like, in the late 50s, Elvis filmed part of Follow That Dream.
Yeah.
In Inverness, in the town I grew up. So that was kind of our claim to fame for about 3 decades.
It was one of those towers in Inverness, right?
Fourth
Ted
down.
Williams, the baseball player, he retired there.
That's right. His neighbor was Ted Williams.
Oh, bitch.
Yeah.
Where's Ted Williams now?
He lived in a small town where it's called, oh, man. It's
now, what I learned being over with them is, there's a lot of drama about his head getting cut off. You're right, Brother Matt. Isn't that right, Chach? Something about the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's not really funny at all. It's just...
It's terrible.
Crazy shit that happens in life.
The kid. His kid was behind it, or...
Yeah, it's the kid. His fucking...
Well, it was the son... What I read, of course, the son never, said, I froze my dad's head, but, like, he... Apparently, they got him to sign a waiver saying that he wanted to be cryogenically frozen. But instead of his whole body, they froze just his head.
A discount.
I guess it was cheap or something.
Yeah.
And it was...
But that went bad, right?
His son... Because he had three kids. He had an eldest daughter, and then another daughter, and then John Henry Williams.
Okay.
Which is his son, who later, strangely enough, died of leukemia about three years after his dad's death.
Well...
Yeah.
Could he hit? To hang out around with him and talk with him all the time.
Oh, man, how wild.
Yeah.
How bitchin'.
So not a lot of cats. Maybe you didn't have a lot of you didn't have a lot of music you could see, Chach, but you did get to grow up with Ted Williams.
The splinter, yeah.
Man.
So
it was weird because through him, the craziest people would come and visit this guy. He had his own museum just 2 miles away from my house. So he would have a baseball convention, like the Ted Williams convention every year. So Mickey Mantle would show up.
Wow.
Muhammad Ali, George Bush Sr., John Glenn. I mean,
man.
It was crazy.
Wow.
Okay, back to the music thing. What was the first band you were in?
First band I was in was a band called Libyan Hit Squad.
LBA.
LHS.
Libyan Hit Squad. LHS.
I'm a fucking idiot. Okay. And now how'd that band come together?
Well, we were the only ones in town. It took a long time to find those guys. One was my best friend at the time. They were both my best friends. And we didn't even have a drummer. We just had a guy that we just kind of had to play the bucket. You know,
the bucket?
For a good 2 or 3 months. And we would just play I Want to Be Your Dog by the Stooges, maybe a Ramones song, and Agent Orange's Bloodstains.
Yeah. All bucket accessible. And what? One guy was on bass, and another guy was on you were on guitar.
I wasn't on guitar, but then I went to bass because nobody else could play the bass.
Ah, good reason. Okay, so the Libyan Hit Squad. In fact, I played some of that on the show the other week.
Right on.
Let's get on over to Gil. Gil, what's your earliest music memory?
That's kind of hard to say. I think growing up, my dad wasn't really that big a fan of anything that was going on during the 70s. He was more rooted into like Motown and soul and stuff like that. He was playing alto sax and baritone sax.
Oh, he's a
blues and clarinet, actually.
He's a woodwind man.
Yeah, which is actually quite surprising, because during the daytime he was a military man, so he'd come home and pop off the uniform and then start playing sax, I guess, online.
Yeah.
But he would always rail about the past decade that I wasn't very much aware about. I was born in the 70s. I don't remember it that long. But the only thing I liked out of that was Billy Joel's A Stranger. But as soon as Billy Joel broke up that band, he had nothing to do with them.
Oh, okay.
I hate that shit.
And where were you at this time? Were you in Pennsylvania?
No, I was up in West Point.
New York.
Over in Boston.
And in Boston, okay.
Yeah, because at that point I was playing the arm brat thing, so I was moving around a little.
Sure,
a while.
Sure.
And then I didn't really start getting music myself until I got out, until I ended up in Columbus, Ohio, at the end of high school. And
You mean during grade school, junior high, you didn't buy a record?
No, that's not true, obviously. No, I think like Boston or whatnot. I think I got drawn to the Iron Maiden
sets. Eddie.
Man, because the war. Yeah.
Okay. So, when did you get into the guitar?
Again, I think I really like the for about a year to satisfy his requirement. But after a year, I realized, my teacher was always showing up late and kind of like going over the same stuff. I was like, this fucking guy, I don't need this guy. Yeah. So after I satisfied my parents' requirement, fired them, and then just kind of started playing with other people.
Oh, you mean the requirement?
Get the feeling.
The requirement, like if we get you a guitar, you got to take lessons.
Well, it was kind of strange looking back on it, because I bought the guitar. I should have been able to do whatever the hell I want.
Yeah, right.
But my dad was like, you're bringing this thing in here, you're going to learn how to play the goddamn thing. So
okay.
I went through that. I took the lessons. Looking back on it, it was good. It did introduce me to theory or whatnot. But I've always been more of a hands-on kind of guy.
Yeah,
I can read it a million times until I actually do it, and then I start to understand it better.
What was your first album? First band. I'm sorry.
First band, I think that would have been back in high school. We call ourselves Omelet.
Omelet?
like modeling.
Modeling. Kind of sad.
I thought you said omelet. Yeah.
We did a breakfast
Who's
show.
Who's that guy on SNL? Sammy Modlin, right?
Oh, yeah.
He was always
Sammy, right.
Right? One of them cats.
That's where it came from.
Man, that show used to trip me out. It was really happening. I didn't think the one before was very funny, but man, that one was spacey. Okay, so modeling. Do you remember your first gig?
Yeah.
Was it kind of like Chacha's situation where you didn't have a lot of people to play with?
it was probably been less than that, because we were up right, we were an hour and a half, what was it, east of Cleveland and west of Erie, up in the snow belt in Ashtabula, Ohio. There's fucking nobody up there. There's absolutely nobody. I mean, if you wanted to run away, like, go ahead. Where are you going to go?
It's kind of
waste of snow.
You know what, Gil? It's kind of deer hunter territory.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That movie?
Yeah, you know.
Wasn't it filmed around there?
Wow.
I think so. I think there's definitely some characters up there. There's people that deserve to be filmed.
Okay, look, I want to play Tailspin. Hey, dude, off your new album. Can you guys tell me about that tune?
What, Tailspin?
Tailspin.
It's supposed to be like a 50s TV host kind of commenting on the alternative facts and the current political situation we're in. Kind of like making light of the whole thing.
Okay.
And the whole thing plays out like a drama, so might as well give it a spin on it. It's supposed to be culture going through a tailspin, crashing down.
And then all you can say is, hey, dude.
Hey, dude.
All right, listen.
Down, 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 down Down, 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 down asshole you need. I got the acid blues.
I'm driving down this highway and I'm doing mighty well. Staying in between the lines as best as I can tell. There's just one thing on my mind. I'm drinking beer and seeing stars and smoking cigarettes. Passing mighty city lights and trying to forget.
so happens you favor the ocean, baby. I tend to take after the moon. We could pretend that we could resist. It's not my fault we fit like this. I say something funny. Feel free to confront me, honey. Yeah, so what if I was looking at you? Yeah, so what if I was looking at you? What's an overachieving underdog to do? Yeah, so what if I was looking at you? Hooked me with that crooked little sway. You drive past an accident and try and look away. You were smiling like a checkerboard and shining like a shoe. Can't believe I'm wasting these lines on you. Alright, you call me red blooded. You wanna make something of it. Yeah, so what if I was falling in love? Yeah, so what if I was falling in love? I ain't gonna push it, honey. I ain't gonna shove. But can't nobody stop me from falling.
Fly for Pedro show. We heard Tailspin. Hey, dude, from Round Eye. Red from Petra doing King Crimson a cappella. Anarchist Wood. And then, and some son. Marco Sorato out of Spain with Thimble Cap. Mr. Smothers and Sophie Kate out of Montreal. Chris Burns. Ancient Bird. Sound Off remix from Many Birthdays out of Austin. Ig did a solo song called Asshole Blues last week.
Cool.
And you know, his 70th birthday's coming.
I just heard that, yeah. They came out on Magnag, right?
Yeah, right. Flexi. Remember Flexi Disc?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, sure. The tour up, the tour boss, Henry, had me do a little spiel for Ig. So
awesome.
Happy 70. Another trip around the sun. We can hear you screwing that shit on real good. And then Road That Leads to You, Sarah Shook and the Disarmers. Corey Brandon with Yeah, So What? Tim Bowman Kestner with Abgrunda. And finally, Joe Brewer, Concrete Noise. Back to the Round Eye Guy. So when did you guys meet each other?
Gil was one of the first people I met out here. There used to be a bar out here called, well, it still is, but the original location of the only hard music bar in Shanghai for a long time. It's called Inferno. And we knew the owners. I was there when it opened up. It was just kind of the only place in town to go if you wanted to hear anything not K-pop, not Korean pop music.
Really. Sure.
You know. And there was Gil. He was at the bar.
Holding it up?
And we just got this... Yeah, we hit it right off, man. We just got started talking about, you know, punk bands and the FU's, Gangrene, like that area of hardcore in Boston.
Boston, right. This is Boston, not L.A., I think the record was called.
I still remember pretty clearly when I first met Chachi, you know. He's like, oh, he seems all right. He seems a nice guy. And then Chachi whips out a business card, and he hands me this business card. And it said, Chachi England, rock and roll scientist. Okay, so let's put that in the pocket. Woke up the next morning, it's going through my clothes. So what the hell?
Rock and roll scientist. You know, that's funny about that.
That's history.
Funny about that, a tangent. Richard Meltzer once sent me a Ace of Spades in the mail. He says, Watt, one day you're going to want to play this. And so I sent him, we had just come out with Beanspiel EP, and he sent it to Richard, and he put a review of it in Cream Magazine, like I played the ace.
Oh, cool.
And he said, you know what he called this? Scientist rock. So I put it in History Lesson Part 2, our band Scientist Rock. God, everything's connected. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, April 18th, 2017, edition of Walk Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour two, our special guests from China, Josh and Gil.
Crinkle, crinkle, little star.
April 18, 2017. It's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
在向北而行走，走过那千山万里处，忘记云波，与他是否走过那山的时候，天空与梦想在前头。
I've been so negative, so I'm gonna come through. Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show started off the second hour off with Crinkle from Round Eye off their new album, Monster Vision. Why Monster Vision?
That's the title of Joe Bob Briggs' late night horror movie TV show in the 90s.
Okay. Yeah, the 90s went by.
Like I said, I grew up in a small town, you know, so like Friday and Saturday nights, not exactly, you didn't have anywhere to go.
Sure.
So this guy would always kind of supply the entertainment while my friends and I just fucked around in my house.
And what was it like, playing old B-movies and having funny commentary?
Yep.
And yeah, a guy like that here.
What's cool about it is he'd also tell you little-known facts about the movie, because this is before the internet, you know?
So it's just, like Robert Osborne, who just passed away.
Yeah, how he made, you know, the history of the director.
Sure.
Some weird information, you know, who was sleeping with who.
Yeah, we had a guy who would dress up with a cape and a hat, and his name was Seymour, and it was called Fright Night. Me and D. Boone, we love this show, but he didn't give us any information. He just made fun of this shit. Called everybody assholes for watching it and shit. He had a heart attack. Okay, then we had I played a bunch of music that you gave me just before I got on the plane. May from PK14, Wind from Bowie, Something Bite Me, Pumpkins, How to Be an Actor, ? Street Kills Strange Animals, So Small, The Top Floor Circus, and finally, Goshen with Poor in the Field, which had you, Gil, and then finally, Kurami by Round Eye. What's Kurami?
Kurami. It's a cover of an Italian mid-80s, I guess, avant-garde punk band called CCCP.
Oh, yeah. I remember those cats. Kind of hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, really, if you're going to cover somebody, do it as fucking esoteric as possible. A little Italian hardcore band from the 80s. Okay.
That's Livio connection.
And Goshen. Goshen was... Gil, were you in Goshen before you met Chach? Gil?
Shouldn't have asked that.
Yeah. Too hard of a question. We lost him.
All right, so that Goshen started right when I met him.
Okay, right when you met him.
Before that, called Bigong Bijing.
Okay, because Gil's been there 12 years. Now, Brother Matt asked a question. When I asked how did you meet Gil, Brother Matt said, how did you get to China, Chach?
Me? Okay, because my trip to China is very different from Gil's trip to China.
Yeah, of course.
I came there, my first band, Libby and Hit Squad, our first drummer, he had come to, he was my friend for a long time, since the old Sitters, like, Hicktown, Florida days. And he went to China in 2004 and 2003, and told me all about it. He came back and reported. He said, oh, you gotta go. Beijing's happening. Shanghai's happening. There's incredible stuff going on out there. And, you know, it was one of those things. I was in school, and I was like, yeah, maybe someday. And I just kind of forgot about it. And then a few years after he came back and told me about it, he died. He killed himself. And then I was like, well,
so sorry.
You know, it hit me pretty hard. And then I was like, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this now. And I just made the decision. You know, and plus the economy was in the shitter. Couldn't find a job. So I was like, screw it. If it's ever going to happen, it's going to happen right now. That was 2009, 10. So broke up with the girlfriend, broke up the band, quit job, and left.
And went to China. Right straight to Shanghai.
Straight to Shanghai.
And, I told Brother Matt, you teach. In fact, you had me talk to three of your classes. They're beautiful kids. You're doing a great job.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I say that because Brother Matt's a teacher, too. His kids are a little older. It's more like... it's cats who've done hard in school, and they come back to, you know...
They drop out.
Yeah, come back and get it together.
Okay.
And Brother Matt's got an incredible success rate with these cats because he's got... He's got a lot of patience. He's strong.
Man. You have to. Yeah.
But, okay, is Gil with us again?
Yep, I'm back.
Okay, Gil, now you came to China a lot earlier, 12 years ago.
Yeah, actually, the first time I was in China was 2002. I was doing my 15, undergrad in 15. Chinese at Ohio State. And they had an exchange program at Qingdao University. So when I started to make contacts there, I found myself coming back and forth from the U.S. to China about every 3 months and every 6 months. And then months turn into years, and then before you know it, you know, I was in Beijing, Qingdao, and then relocated slowly down to Shanghai around 2009, and been here permanent since.
Okay, but you didn't really start doing bands until you met Chach?
Actually, I had about two full-time bands before I met Chach.
Okay.
I was on my second, and then, you know, the problem with Shanghai, it's almost like a college football team, you know, we lose a quart of blood every year, you know, it's a very transient city.
Transient.
People come in, yeah, so I think the best thing about me and Chach is that he hasn't gone anywhere, so, you know,
okay.
At least you got something solid you can bet.
Well, let's get to it then. Okay, you guys meet at the Inferno Bar. And then the next morning you find the rocket scientist card. And do you decide right there, we're going to make a round eye band?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, man.
Round eye was, the reason round eye got together to begin with was I had to finish this record of Libyans. We had a half of a record finished with, we were recording with Greg Ginn, Blackland, who I had met on the last 2 years of Libyan. We played a few shows together in Central Florida, and we hit it off. We were talking about, you know, baseball and smoking weed, and just, you know, we just hit it off. And like he agreed to, you know, graciously agreed to record with us, and we finished it. And then, but we didn't release it because I left, and I felt that it was a shame, and I wanted to, you know, get it out there. And so I formed Round Eye to just kind of round out the record, no pun intended.
Yeah. Brother Matt, but we were there, you know, and I was thinking about it. Remember the first gig? You can't knock off Kung Fu Fighting. But I was thinking about it, the first gig we did, and I wanted to thank the guys in Round Eye for making the tour possible. And then I started thinking, you know what? We all got round eyes. It's the lids that are different. And so I had to get up there every night and, like, Professor Einstein and, like, get that great revelation to people. Like, what a dumb fuck. I felt so stupid. Anyway, so round eyes put together in order to fill up the rest of the album. Because
right.
There was only so much Libyan Hit Squad stuff with Greg. And so you needed to fill it up. And then you met Gil, because there's been a few different versions of Round Eye, right? Because I noticed in the pictures,
yeah.
The only thing that stays the same is them stupid fucking glasses you guys wear.
Pretty much. I mean, and the glasses and Jimmy Jack. He's been with us since the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
And but Gil and I would always hang out though. You know, we'd always, you know. Put tour together.
Yeah. Tell us about that. How did you meet Jimmy?
I met Jimmy. God, how did I meet Jimmy Jack? It was a mutual friend.
This is the drummer man of Round Eye, people.
Yeah, it was a mutual friend. It was a mutual friend who knew that he was going to be here for a while, and same with our original sax player Lewis. And original bass player Bob. It was all mutual friends. Bob actually came with me from Florida. I was in university with him in Orlando.
Wow.
UCF.
Now your current bass man, Livio, he's from Pisa, Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy. He's a great drummer, man. Good guy too.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
I like him a lot.
And, you know, great because he's going to be here for a while. He just got married to a Shanghainese girl, so he's angry
right,
here. So.
Right, right.
No kidding.
Drop anger. So, at first there's no gigs. You just get together stuff to record to fill up this album.
Right.
Do you remember the first Round Eye gig?
The first Round Eye gig was in June of 2012. And it was an open mic night at Union Time.
YYT?
Yep.
Yeah,
it was great because, I mean, we are at that point, a lot of us hadn't played music for, you know, a couple of years. And so we just kind of got together. It was just for fun in the beginning, you know? I mean, on the first Round Eye record, I'm playing drums on one of the songs. So it's like, it really was just to fill up that record.
So the audience, Round Eyes, or are they Chinese people?
Lo Y. They say Lo Y for foreigner. You know, when I played this pad, it was the last gig of the tour a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And it was mainly low-life.
Uh-huh.
But there's some Chinese people, too.
Mm-hmm.
But Shanghai has big expat community.
Huge.
Yeah, huge. Mm-hmm. Probably bigger than Beijing, right?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's like the business mecca of mainland China.
Yeah, and it goes way back to the teens and the 20s. Mm-hmm. Even in the 19th century, that I was telling you about those equal treaties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Equal.
So that Shanghai has always had this kind of presence of low-life
people. Right.
Okay, so was the open night, was a success? Was like, yeah, let's do this.
Oh, it was huge. I mean, it was like a Monday night, and like 100 people showed up. You know, it was really fantastic. It kind of gave us the encouragement to go ahead with it, and we were all having fun, so nobody hated each other. It was good.
but you're playing songs from the stuff you were using to fill up the album.
Right.
So in a way...
We did a couple of, like, sax-based numbers. I think we did, you know, probably... I think we did Funhouse, and we did what was the other one? I think we... X-Ray Specs, Bondage Up Here,
Laura Logic, and Polystyrene. Polystyrene passed away from cancer.
and also, I mean, we saw it as a cool way to see the country, too, you know?
Right, doing gigs, touring.
Right.
What about bringing low-wise, bringing foreign people in for tours? What was the first time you did that?
That was with a band called Moto. That was actually when Gil and I and a friend of ours, Chris, that's when we first started really working together. It was when we first brought Moto, the Masters of the Obvious, over to China in 2013. Okay. That was the first time we did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you guys were so righteous to us. Tom and Raul, so grateful.
Oh, man, it was a pleasure to have you. And, you know, a lot's changed since the first time we started doing this.
I can imagine.
I mean, it takes a lot of learning. You know, you start...
You learn by doing, right?
Right, exactly. And, you know, I mean, it really helps if the artist coming over really just trusts you. You know what I mean? Because, like...
Sure, sure.
China's a hard place to travel in, even if you're just by yourself being a tourist, you know?
Sure. Although, like, those trains, Brother Matt, you wouldn't believe these trains. 183, 185 miles an hour.
Wow. Are they totally packed?
No. They weren't totally packed. You know, there's more space.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they're pretty comfortable. What's the company? CHR? CRH? Something like that.
Yeah, China Rail.
Yeah, it's kind of looks like the Siemens ones over in Europe. Or the TGV? Mm. The TVG.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of it's based off Siemens.
Yeah, below.
What's crazy too is that rail is growing like every single day. Every day we hear of a new line that's opened up between cities. I mean, before in 2013 with Moto, there was no rail between Beijing and Shanghai.
What about that 14-hour baby you told me about? It took
that's
less than 3 hours. Yeah, it was 14 hours, right?
Wow.
Sleeper cars, they were telling me.
Yep.
We did it in 3 hours.
Wow,
we were jamming. It was very, very happy. So it's come that time of the show now. We're going to let Brother Matt take over. It's been a while. I've been jonesing some spin cycle.
Cool.
Yeah. Looks like a day for a ride. packs, baby. On my bicycle built for two. Me and you. It's a dream come true. Hop on my bicycle built for two. Well, roll with mittens and drop circles, baby.
crazy, thrusting, ceremonial dance. And I want to do it with you.
Tetra.
Yeah.
Superman. The Sounds
Brother
of China.
Brother Matt, thank you so much. What made you do what you just did to us now? We lost fucking Gil.
The Sounds of China.
Sounds of China. No, Gil's back.
I'm back.
Brother Matt, thank you so much. So you were thinking Sounds of China.
Yeah, yeah. And that's how that Bootsy song got in there, too. I was imagining Bootsy in China. He's doing that, you know, Justin Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's bitching, man. He's like a right cooter.
He was just out here. He was playing the jazz festival.
Really? Man, he's awesome. Yep. So Bootsy is on his new album.
Yeah.
Plays a tune on his new album, so.
Bootsy's Cincinnati.
Yeah. Justin gets around. He got a little Tioga RV gypsy van.
Oh, that, right.
That's like his
he's
boat.
He's going mobile?
That's his boat he gets all over in.
Bitching. One time I went to a Bootsy gig and he came out into the crowd. Remember that funky pad, the Strand, where PCH
turns
on? And Bootsy put his, me and Raymond were there, and Bootsy put his hand around my shoulder. And it went all the way around. I mean, his hand, it was like he palmed me, like I was a basketball, and he palmed me. People, it's been the second hour, April 18, 2017 edition, Watt Pedro Show, special guest Chachi Gil out of Shanghai with me and Brother Matt. Hold tight for hour three. April 18, 2017, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
las fiestas del futuro andaremos mudos o descalzos, juntos a un fuego desnudo de discos duros y duras manos. ¿Cómo iba yo a quererte? ¿Cómo iba yo a leerte? ¿Cómo podría lamerte sin petróleo, sin petróleo, sin petróleo, sin petróleo? Fiestas del futuro, qué ocio nos darán nuestros amos, arrastrarnos por embudos de sucios escudos y ser amados solo por psiquiatras, señorías, policías, revolucionarios, vegetarianos, potenciales, funcionarios, armarios, arios, canarios, diseñadores, programadores. ¿Cómo iba yo a protegerte? ¿Cómo iba yo a entretenerte?
my eyes when I think of you there, like the fading light. Your sweating brow, your bed clothes sodden. When you finally left, all your eyes were open. To the corner, and I went to the bar room to take a sip of rum to ease the pain. My friends were there, no, they didn't forget me, only Jid and Joe.
Yeah.
Watt from Pedro Show. Start off the third hour with Sifter from Round Eye. Then we had Macrobat, Suspicious Beard, Las Victimas, they're out of Hamburg, Las Victimas Civiles out of Valencia, Petrolio, Necromance is Dead, Drengi out of Sheffield, another Sheffield band, Payroll Union, Will You Stay, Still Remember Me, Automatic Sam out of Holland with Heart of an Enemy, and finally Mailman out of, I think, Torrance. With Sad. Yeah, they're all teenagers. Kurt Schellenbach gave me that. Yeah, Sifter from the new album Monster Vision by Round Eye. Chach, Gil, tell me about, because the first Round Eye album isn't really all, it's to fill in the LHS album, right? Right. So this is the first proper Round Eye album. So how'd you go about to do this?
Well, the first proper Round Eye album was the first one we actually worked with Steve McKay on. Was 2 years ago.
Oh, and brother, then, that's important because brother Steve, that's my connection with these guys.
Okay.
Right. They twice.
Oh, okay, cool.
Who's
together.
Chewing fucking gum or something, man? We're hearing that really loud over here. We're pulling candy wrappers out of your yang or something. But that's how I got to know these guys.
Okay.
Brother Steve got to go over twice with these cats.
Oh, bitching.
Yeah.
You know, incidentally, when Steve was here the first time, that was the very first time I'd ever played to, like, live in China. It was in a city called Xi'an, where the Terracotta Warriors are.
Yeah. You know those guys, Brother Matt? There's like 8,000 dudes that are all different that the first emperor put in the ground and hid.
Oh, right.
They didn't find these dudes for buttload.
Right, right.
Yeah, a farmer found them accidentally.
Vision.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to check them out when they came through the...
Well, that's only some of them.
Yeah.
And they're still putting, you know, a lot more in pieces.
Each dude's individual.
Each dude
like
is different.
Right? Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
So that's the first time you play. Okay. Brother Steve.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And then we just kept in touch. When we played the Bay Area, he'd come out and sit in with us. And then we asked him, you know, you want to make a record? And he graciously said, yeah. And then when we were about to release it, we got him out here again to do the release shows with us. And sadly, that was the last live performance, well, almost the last live performances that he did.
Yeah, I think he did one in the city.
Right.
He would do that, what was it, Third Thursday band? He told me about.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, Big Al's Condor Room.
Yep.
Man, I miss him terrible.
Yeah,
and, I know. You know, Iggs, the last man standing from the original band.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's crazy.
Very heavy. So, okay,
so we got to, we still had sessions with Steve, because when Steve was, the last time Steve was in Beijing, we first started recording what was to be this album that we're playing now.
Yeah.
And we started with recording with Pink House, Cat, and Nest. And that we recorded with Yang Hai Song, PK14 in Beijing.
Ah, he's the first underground China band I heard from about 10 years ago. Yeah.
It just took a long time to piece together, you know, because we were going through lineup changes. Gilla just joined. Livio was still pretty fresh. And Mac had just joined, too. So we were all, like, kind of regrouping.
Mac's your sax man. Mm. The guy who lived in Taiwan many years, right? He's only been in China a couple of years. Yeah.
He lived in Taiwan for about 10 years?
Yeah, like 10 years. Cool people. Very cool people. So there's a couple producers on this album.
Yeah, the Yang Hai Song, he did, I would say, about two or three of the songs, and we took him back, and we just didn't really like what the mix was turning out to be with him, so we went to our usual guy, Liu Weiyu. You met him over at the
I got to chow with him, right? At the...
Right, exactly.
What was it called? The Lotus Eatery?
Yep, that's it.
All catchy name. But it was really good chow, man. It was fucking righteous.
It's our favorite restaurant out here.
Yeah, it was good chow and good vibe. And he was cool people.
Yeah, he's... You know, I mean, cool if you want to know something about Chinese underground, he's like an encyclopedia. He'll tell you everything. And he probably recorded some of it, too.
God, he looks pretty young, though.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
The guy's like, I think he's like 10 years older than me.
Okay.
And I look older than him.
You live hard, Chach. Look, you say Brother Steve's on Peak House?
Yep.
Okay, let's listen.
myself. Don't leave me on this shelf. Someone needs my help and I can't get out off this shelf. Someone needs a hand.
worth the drag. and it won't be much longer now. And it won't be much longer now. And it won't be much longer.
Watt Cathedral Show, last music for this edition. We had Round Eye doing Pink House. Did you write that specifically for Brother Steve?
Yeah, we did. We had the sax in mind.
Wow.
The phrasing of what he would do.
Great.
And what was crazy is the last minute and a half of that song, we decided to use a sort of like a lament for Steve, you know, like a song of more, like, you know, a tribute to him.
Sure.
And we had him kind of playing off, you know, fading away with this. We were making the music video for Sifter in Pyongyang, North Korea.
Yeah.
And while we were there, at midnight, every night, they would play this eerie synthesizer music to chime the hour.
Yeah.
And that's what you hear at the end there. And that was all in North Korea at that point.
Whoa. We had from Italy, Manlio Maresca and Manuel for Errors doing Isk. Not from Roma, but Terracina. They're close, but they're not the same. I've been reminded many times. Terracina, not Roma. And I'm going to get to do 10 Italian, I think, this tour coming up.
Brother. Oh, bitch.
Sardinia. Uh-huh. Free Sicily.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's,
October?
September, October. Tega from Ardo out of Bologna, speaking of Italy. DER with Shelf out of the desert here. Remember that gig I did with
Puppets
and Second Man?
Yeah.
This cat just walked up and gave me a CD.
Bitchin'.
DER, I don't know what it stands for. Dur. It had spaces between the letters, so I thought it's an acronym. No Ice with Out with the Brats on Dolphin, Worth the Drive. Somebody put that CD when I played that benefit for Brother Steve. Wife Patty.
Right.
Come out to the boat, and the CD was on the windshield with the windshield wiper. Not even in a sack. Not even a sack.
Bad yellow mess.
Yeah, it's been raining. Okay. On Dolphin. So whenever On Dolphin sounds so weird, but then there's a mile song on Dolphin Street. On Green Dolphin Street.
Yeah, there's Dolphin Street up by Avril.
Yeah, but on. O-N, huh? On Green Dolphin Street. So they're called On Dolphin. What, like I get boned on Dolphin?
Yeah.
And then finally, Layman with Some People Feel. Look, advice. Gil, first you. People wanting to go to China.
In what respect?
Well, first, just want to go. Because if you ask me my advice, I would like a lot more U.S. people to at least visit China. They don't have to move there. They don't have to start a band. But at least go there and check it out.
Go and check it out? Well, you know. Yeah, just kind of...
Well, you gave me an email. Gil, you gave me an email that said something. There's like the she stage, and then there's the beyond that.
Oh, well, you know, it kind of depends where you come into. It's kind of like the blind man filling the L thing, because China's pretty big. I guess the first thing you got to understand is China's just a bunch of little countries all under one kind of common denominator.
You said it was like a... You said it was a... you told me it was a pedagogical... The real deal is a pedagogical experience. It's a learning thing, right?
Well, if you want to approach it from that way, then you... Because the language is, it takes a while to learn. But at the same time, if you do it from a pedagogical standpoint, you can open up a lot of doorways quicker rather than trying to concentrate on just the language barrier. So,
sure,
it's definitely the best way to go about it.
And, Josh, what would you say? Same question to you.
I would say, you know, pretty similar to what Gil said. Like, instead of, a lot of people that come to China want to see, you know, the monuments and stuff like that, the history. I would say start with the people. Because.
Be contemporary.
The people. Yeah, yeah. Like, get down and go to, you know, just meet the people out here, because they're different in every city. And I feel that, you know, once you connect with the people in China on their grounds, on their level, you understand a lot more of where the country's coming from. It took quite a while. It took about 6 months for me to really get that. You know, it's a relationship. It's the bond between people out here is very, very different than how I've seen things function out in the West. Actually, no, yeah, the world open.
You gotta get out and do dinner.
Okay.
Yeah, do dinner.
Yeah, we had a great one. Remember that?
Week. When was that? Yeah, Mike, you saw.
Shin Shin. Huh. Shin Shin, right? Yeah.
Was that?
No.
Jiang Yang?
Shin Ying.
Jiang Yang.
It was right next to the Yangtze River.
Right.
Yep.
That was a great chow.
So Wuxi.
Wuxi. It was like the outskirts of Wuxi. Yeah, right.
Right.
Look, I think that's the great advice probably anywhere you go, though. Get to know the people, not just the
monuments. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, hey, I want to thank you both, Gil and Chach, for being on the show. Brother, yeah. Man, was it a bitch to have them aboard?
Hey, Matt, Mike.
Yeah, great to have you guys.
Thanks
yeah.
for having us, man.
And we want to have you on again. When you have some more adventures, more music out there, let's have you on again, please. Promise?
All right, Mike. We
definitely appreciate it.
Okay.
Well, Mike, and, can I do a shout-out real quick?
Give it out.
Hey, shout-out. Love to Celeste and Patty. And love to Sean Starkey and Chad.
Okay, that's beautiful. It's been an April 18th, 2017 edition of Watt for Peter show, everybody. Keep your powder dry.